We're going to be talking about the first piece of armor today, but there are pieces of armor that you will wear. They are spiritual and they are for the Christian. And you cannot ignore them. You cannot not learn about them, because if not, you will be exposed. You will be vulnerable and you will be subject to attack. And not just attack, but to be put down. He is under your feet spiritually if we will use our spiritual armor to fight against him and not our own natural being, our personalities, or our ignorance, or just refusing to believe what the truth really is. There are six pieces of spiritual armor that Jesus tells us to put on as we battle Satan in this life. Jesus tells us. We are not asked to choose from the six. We are told to put on the whole armor of God. How'd you like to go against the enemy and realize you don't have a sword? How'd you like to go against the enemy and realize you have no shield for when he's fighting back? How'd you like to go out against the enemy and there's no belt, so everything's falling down on all your armor and you're trying to pick it up while he's pummeling you? How would you like to go without the helmet of salvation, where every thought comes in and you can't take it, that thought captive, because you don't even know if you're saved? You don't even know whose side you're on. Or if God is for you. But if God be for you, who could be against you? These are the things we have to have in our spirit so we can recall them when the enemy is attacking. You must put on the whole armor. It is necessary to be completely armed, or you will be exposed and vulnerable to the attack of a real spiritual enemy in your life. And we know him as Satan. We know him as the devil. We know him as what? Other names that you can think of. It's been described in the Bible, and when you recognize it, you realize that he is your enemy. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. God's word. Finally, he tells us, encourages us through Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not yours. His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He didn't say you might be attacked in this life. When you become a Christian, you're a target. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not like your normal warfare that you have down here on earth. It's against rulers. It's against powers. It's against world forces of this darkness. Against the spiritual forces. He's letting you know who your enemy really is. Not people. They're just sometimes being used by the enemy. Pray for them and get them on your side. These are spiritual forces that have already been judged, that are against you, and that will fight to their last drop to take you with them. Their wickedness. And where are they? In the heavenly places, the second heavens, that realm that we don't see with the naked eye. We don't see in that 11 dimensions. We see in 3D. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to what? Resist in the evil day. And having done everything, even when you think you've resisted everything that you can do, stand firm. Why? Because you don't have to worry about whether you can muster up the strength or not. If you're in Christ, he'll bring it to you. Stand firm, therefore, having what? Girded, and this is what we're going to talk about today, girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are metaphors. What is he saying? You need righteousness, you need peace, you need salvation. These are the components spiritually of what you need to fight effectually against your enemy. In addition to all, take up that shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows. Remember, these are metaphors that he's using to get into your brain, that you got arrows coming from the evil one. You got attacks. You got that monkey chatter, as said again. Okay? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Word of God. Again, metaphors, which is the Word of God. With all prayer. Now, once you've put on all your armor, once you've been clothed and you've just battled all up and you get ready to face the enemy, it says what? What do we do? How do we fight? And this is what we'll be learning after we learn about our spiritual armor. Prayer. With all prayer. Because these things aren't, you know, it's not a real sword. It's not a real shield or anything like that. These are spiritual. These are spiritual armor. It's like the armor. It's what you're using to fight with in the spirit realm. Prayer and petition. It says pray at all times. Why? Because the fight is on at all times. And you got to pray in the Spirit, not according to, well, my mom taught me, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Oh, and Jesus taught, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was an example to show you the components of prayer that you need to pray specifically. Paga, it's called rhema. It means, yes, he gave us the logos to say, our Father who art in heaven. But that means, okay, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means get started. Father, you are the greatest. You are the great I am. You're the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're Jehovah, self-existing Lord, eternal, changes and faithful. You're Elohim, creator, sovereign, and full of power. You're the beginning and the end. Father, you are my sufficiency. God, you are my defense. You're the rock of my defense. You provide for all my needs. See, I'm praying in the Spirit at all times with these components that Jesus gave us. Not canned prayers that the devil knows you're just reciting and they don't have it in your heart. We're to pray at all times with petition in the Spirit with this in view. He says, now, even when you're doing that, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Because you know that you can get a phone call at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. We all know how the attack comes when you least expect it. And when you least expect it, you should automatically be, bam, in the name of Jesus, let my sister go. We don't just get that phone call and just freak out and, oh God, we got to get the prayer chain going. Before you do that, get your prayer chain going. Yank it and pray. Being strong in the strength of His might refers to being equipped with supernatural power. Okay? Being strong, what that means is, this is no power that you can generate. This comes from above. This comes from your Heavenly Father who just wants to give you all of what He has. He just wants to know that He can trust you with it. He wants to know that you're going to use it effectually, that you're going to be trained by it like a soldier would be. You're not going to dress up a soldier and then he's in basic training and he can't fight worth a lick and stick him right out in front of the front lines. He's going to be blown away. God knows what you can handle and will never give you anything more than you can handle. Even though the fire may be coming at you from all directions and you think that you can't stand, He knows He'll be standing in the end. And so do we. You see, as Christians, we can receive that kind of power, that strength of His might, but we cannot generate it. You're able to receive the kind of fighting that you need to do in this life. You have to be able to receive it, but you yourself cannot generate it. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no supernatural power. The only thing supernatural in you is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Your abilities mean nothing. You get done things physically, but in the spiritual realm, the devil will laugh at you. The sons of Sceva were trying to do things in the natural. They wanted what was spiritual. But God, listen, the devil knew that they had no clue as to what kind of spiritual power they had. They had no relationship. Their words were ineffectual. You need the Holy Ghost when He comes upon you. And you shall then, He says, be able to be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part. No matter where you go, my words will be on your lips. Because if you got the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to read this word. This word's going to get embedded in your heart. And when you need it, He'll bring it. But it's a discipline. So our enemy, here we go. Our enemy is spiritual. You know that. So must be our power. You're not going to fight Him without that supernatural power that He's telling you to put on. And He's not telling you to put on 4 out of the 6. He's telling you to take all 6, put it on every day, and pray at all times with petition for the saints, for yourself, for you, whatever it is you need. Because if you let up and you just take a break and take this stuff off, the devil ain't sleeping and he is going to look for an opportunity to get that toehold in your life. Is it going to take work? Yes. Is it going to take disciplines? Yes. You know, it's not work to get to heaven. You got your salvation. But when you're here and you're fighting, if you want to be victorious as a Christian, you better work. You better discipline yourself. Buffet your body. Take every thought captive. Do the things that they're telling us to do, and we're going to see results and we'll be more victorious. Yeah, you'll still be getting hammered, but you're going to be hammered while you're winning. It's like a football team that looks like they're beat all to shreds, but at the end they hold up the flag and the trophy and they're so excited they can go party. Our party awaits in heaven. But right now we fight, and we fight in a victory position. That's right. And we need to take it. Unseen rulers, they are fallen angels. If you don't know where they came from, God cast them down with Satan. They are unseen rulers, and they are behind much of the turmoil and the conflict that we're experiencing in the world. I'm telling you, as people allow these thoughts to come in and then act upon them, just as the church is the hands and feet of Jesus, so are the heathen in the hands of Satan. And they're being used. And we experience the turmoil and the conflict because people are exercising it in yours and my life to aggravate you. Even that little checkout counter girl that's over there that may have just trying to act, Satan's just trying to get your goat through it. But in response to the truth of God, as Brett said, and you think, you know what, she could have just lost her wife. Say, you know what, I'm just going to pray for you. I know that no matter how you're lashing out right now, that's not who you truly want to be. You want to be treated just as I would treat you, as you would treat me. And you just diffuse it. Takes two to fight. Folks, make no mistake, they are organized, these spiritual forces. They are organized, they are powerful, and they do have a battle plan. They know exactly how they want to come against you. And what are they looking for? Your weaknesses. How do you give them? How do you expose your weaknesses? By what you do, because they're not omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. They're not God. They're fallen angels. But because they exist in that spiritual realm, they can see in the physical realm what you're doing and what you're saying out loud. They cannot read your mind, but they can see and watch you. And then they're going to respond to how you respond. They're going to respond when you speak on how you respond. And when you speak with power and authority, you have greater power that lives within you than he that's within the world. They have to obey when you know your authority. Amen. You don't ask, you tell them.
Yeah, that's right.
Too often we're asking God for something he's already done. And he says, you move the mountain. Don't ask for the mountain to be removed. I already removed it. Now you do it in the spirit realm. Do what my son Jesus did. When the devil comes, it is written. And it will prevail. It has to. He's God. And he can't lie. There's cunning. And there's deception with Satan. And he wages his best strategies against you. So I think it would be wise to put on God's armor and keep it on. Too many Christians today are, and this is true, and Pastor Don, you could witness to this. Too many Christians are seeking power, but they neglect to put on their armor.
That's right.
Everybody wants prestige and plaudits and big churches. Everybody wants to have members so they'll preach on nice things and not really preach on the things that, you know, like repentance and obedience, because they may lose tithers. And everybody wants, but everybody wants to go out and raise the dead and heal the sick and raise the thing. Or they don't just believe you can even do that today, because that was for the apostles, but not today. And I'm thinking, then why do they mention it in the rest of the book for us to do? It's an excuse because they're not operating it, or they just simply don't believe in it. Well, whether you believe or don't believe, it's still available and it still will happen. One way or the other, God's going to get it done. He wants the church to do it. That's why he's put it in our hands. The prophets in the Old Testament were the ones he used. In the New Testament, he's using Christians or the church. That's why Jesus died for the church. That's why he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to help discern the word of God and give it to you so he could arm the faithful, equip the saints for what? Works of service. He didn't need bellhops going around and just delivering brownies to people, although that's not bad and that's good and stuff like that. He wants to kick butt against the enemy. He's already a defeated foe and he wants the church to exercise it out. Literally exercise it out. We seek power, but we don't want to put on our armor. We seek power, but build up our most holy faith and read the word of God so we have a sword to fight with and wear truth all the time and not have to lie and go back and forth between taking our belt off and putting our belt on. And having all the armor fall off at times when your life's falling apart and you don't know why. You could probably directly relate it to how much time you spent with God, because he's your source. Our enemy is invisible, so you never know when he's going to attack. So if I told you in the natural realm that your enemy is out there right now and you do not know when he's going to attack, I guarantee you, you will always carry your weapon and your shield and all the things that God recommends you put on to keep him at bay. Because if you know you're missing one thing and you're vulnerable, not knowing when he's going to attack, think about it yourself. It's too late to put your armor on after the battle begins. Stay on guard. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. My son, daughters, children, give attention to my words. Wisest man in the world wrote this from the hand of God. Incline your ear to my sayings, my teachings, the word of God. Call it what you will. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That means don't just read them and forget them. Read them, bite on them, ingest them, meditate them, spend some time. If you're going to do 3 hours of TV today, spend 3 hours on one section of Scripture, and I guarantee you it'll do you more good the next day than watching Barney Miller. Where did that come from? That's a long time ago. Dating myself here. For that. What is this to you? It's life to those who find them, these words of wisdom and health, the truth to all of your body. What does that tell you? You want to stay healthy? Live by the truth. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch what flows in, folks, and watch what flows out. For from it flow the what? Springs of life. They're either going to be bitter waters or they're going to be fresh waters. Fresh waters come from reading God's word. Bitter waters come from reading everybody else and them telling you what to do. Great words to live by, and of course, ready yourself for battle by. Amen? I want to finish today just discussing the first piece of armor. We're going to do things in small sections because I really want this to sink in, so we're not doing long sermons. We want this word to get into you today. You got to get this first piece. We're going to cover all six pieces. You're going to need them because when we start prayer in about 6 weeks, I got some ladies here and some men that are willing to fight for you and establish plans of attack through prayer throughout the week, early mornings. We're going to have different time things you can pray for. We're going to start putting prayer in there because without prayer, this church is going down. We have no strength in and of ourselves. It's got to go through God. Here's your first piece of armor. To gird your loins with the truth. To gird, again, metaphorically speaking, girding your loins with the truth. What does that mean? Since Satan is a liar, right? And the father of lies, he originated lying. What does it say to do? We must oppose him with God's truth. That's what Jesus did. We oppose him with truth. It's helpful to know that girdles, if you want to look at the metaphor, were worn by soldiers to hold everything together and yet allow freedom of movement. So he would wear the belt and the sword would be in there and it would hold the shield and everything in that girdle was central to him have access to. It literally, its function was to hold everything together. I am here to tell you that God's word spiritually holds everything together. The word even says it, by the power of his might, all things are held together by God's word. When he said it is written, when he said let there be light, when he said Satan, go, when he said anything, his word would hold all things together. And it still does. Satan is a liar, so we must oppose him with the truth. All right, folks, I'm not going to go there. God's truth is what holds everything together in our lives. It is the most important piece of armor that you are going to put on. We know that Satan's primary attack against the believer is the deceiver. Started in the Garden of Eden, did it not? John 8:44. Going to back everything I'm saying here with the word. You, speaking to the religious figures of all people, twisting truth, you are of the father of the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. See, it's not on what you say, it's on what you do. It's not on how much you know, it's who you know. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the what? Truth. This is Satan. He's describing him because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. This is the character and nature of Satan. For he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So Satan's job then wants to deceive you and entangle you with what? Unrighteous activity. Jesus is righteousness. What does it mean? He does what's right regardless of the cost. The Bible says he was obedient unto death. He never disobeyed. He was fully obedient to the Father. Contrary, Satan wants to involve you with unrighteous activity. That's how he deceives you. He's not just going to come at you and say, go murder somebody. He's going to wear you down subtly with thoughts and just kind of keep you out of church and then start bringing some small little teeny white lies in and get you to go into a little compromise so that it eventually will lead you further and further away from the truth where he can pick you off.
That's right.
He's a deceiver. He's trying to entangle you with unrighteous activity, compromising your integrity, and leading you into sin. Jesus leads you other pathways of righteousness. You'll hear them from your pastor, your preacher, on the radio, during worship, when you're around godly people, you're being led, and we're trying to counsel you in pathways of righteousness. Satan, on the other hand, is trying to lead you into what? Sin. Any way, shape, or form, and he'll use good people in your life, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. He said in the end times, they'll be against each other, because some are going to want to follow the world, and you're not. So don't be disappointed if your best friend, you got to leave them. Or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, because they're not going down the same road as you. You're going down separate pathways, and one leads to hell and one leads to heaven. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, what does that mean? People have, folks, you're not it. You've got forefathers and their forefathers. We've had 6,000 years of people since Adam and Eve coming and going, teaching us. We've got examples in here you think we would learn from. We got a cloud of witnesses. So we should lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. Why? Because we've watched what's happened in everybody's lives that entangle themselves in sin. Even David, God, whom he loved and had a heart after God, got himself in so much worldly trouble. And the only reason he made it is because he repented and turned and knew from whence his help came. It says, leave that stuff that entangles you and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Folks, it is a faith fight. It is a walk of faith in this life. And when walking in faith and walking in faith, Satan is trying to derail you from your faith so you will get entangled with sin and begin to get pulled away from the straight, fixing your eyes on Jesus' promise that we're supposed to have made. It's the Word of God. So we must apply. It's not enough just to listen. What does James say? We have to be an effectual doer. It's not enough just to know about God. We need to do the will of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of thoughts seen. But it also constitutes what? Hearing and doing. Without the doing part, he says it's null and void. It's not going to do you any good. Faith is a verb. You act upon it. So we must apply God's truth, His teachings, in our daily lives in order to protect ourselves. John 8:32. You want to get protected? You got to get God's truth in you, and then you got to exercise. You can't just get a membership at the gym, sign up, give them $100, and sit home and eat bonbons. Hey, I signed up. I'm in the gym. I know what exercise is all about. Hey, it's great, man. It strengthens your muscles, man. You look good. You thin out. You do great. Wonderful thing it is. And that's all you do, and that's all you say. Won't do you a lick of good. Got to show up and sweat. It's work. He says, you're going to know the truth. What about that? Once you do, the truth will do what? It's going to make you free. 2 Timothy 2:15. So we got to know it. But then, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. How? Accurately handling the word of truth. Okay, I know it. Now I got to handle it. Now I got to do something with it. Now I got to work at it. I know the truth, but it's so difficult for me to be nice to my husband every single day this week. She had to apply it. One way she was able to apply it is she had someone hold her accountable. Hence why you did this last week. Every one of you have accountability partners, because let me tell you, that's one of your best assets in the kingdom of God. Because you know what? Your voice is going to tell you, no, you don't need to. No, you don't need to. And then that voice over there is going to say, oh, yes, you do. Don't you convince yourself that you don't. That's just the enemy. It's helpful to have people like that in your life. Welcome them into your life. That's not a bad thing. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Don't have that computer around if you struggle with it, folks. Don't have the beer in the refrigerator if you struggle with it, folks. Don't have the TV on if you struggle with it, folks. Don't put yourself around all these people if they're cussing around you all day, folks. Unless, you know, you absolutely have to, and it's the only way you make a living. Look for another job. I don't know what to tell you. But the bottom line is, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a choice. I'll pump gas for the rest of my life. If I have to be put in a setting where it's going to pull me away from God, I don't care. I'm at that point in my walk. Folks, we're in a time in the world right now, you got to do what's right regardless of the cost. Jesus is coming back. He's looking for truth. He's looking for faith. And he's roaming around and he's going to empower those who are walking in it. Walking in it. Not just know about it. Not all the people sitting in church going, yeah, pastor, amen. And on Monday don't even tip their waitress. This is about action, folks. This is about being soldiers, having the girdle on of truth, which is going to house all your weapons, all your armor. Truth is central. If you're not walking in truth, none of the other stuff's going to matter. You're going to pull your sword out and it's not going to have any effect because you don't have truth. God's not going to be standing behind a liar.
Amen.
Or a fornicator. You're sleeping with your girlfriend, you're sleeping with your boyfriend, and oh, pastor, I want you to marry me and stand up here and say, oh, God bless my marriage. I can't do that when he doesn't. Repent. And then, you know what? That's wonderful about New Testament. Grace, you can stand up here as if it never happened. But there's an action on your part that has to happen first. You must repent. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. It's something that they preached to ask us to do, not just say, hey, that was good. Putting on Christ means studying his word. It means meditating on it. And it means applying it. It's work. It's not received through osmosis. For some of you, it's like thinking that word's just going in by osmosis. Osmosis means just, you know, the permeability. It's just going to drop in there supernaturally like that. Folks, it doesn't happen passively. It's an active thing. So what does the Bible tell us? Get dressed, Christian. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a metaphor. What does it mean? Get dressed. It's time to put on our big boy and big girl pants. Daddy is done changing our diapers. Paul was mad. Daddy is done changing your diapers. You are old enough now. Put on your big boy pants. Put on them pull-ups if you have to, if that's where you're at. Eventually, you put on your own. And you'll go out and you'll move mountains on his behalf. We got to grow up is what he's really saying. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time, here's Paul frustrated with his congregation. I'm not frustrated with you guys. I'm pumping you up. I want you to know the truth so the truth will set you free. But more importantly, I want you to leave these double doors and I want you to exercise the very things you're going to learn today. Starting with putting on the belt of truth. Starting with it is written. Starting with it is written. You need to know it is written. You need to know it in your heart, not just here on your lips, but in your heart. Because I'm telling you, it's your best defense and offense. Paul says, by this time you ought to be teachers, folks. You've had 16 years at New Testament Christian Fellowship. We can put it that way. 16 years. Do you think you could have 5 Bible verses memorized in 16 years? Yeah, we could. But think of how the enemy has what? Like a frog in a pot, moved us away and distracted us, right? If I asked every one of you to quote 5 scriptures right now, including probably myself, we couldn't do it. That's shameful.
Yes.
My God, the young Hebrew guys, well, I don't know what it was. They had to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You ought to be teachers. You have need for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I could hear Paul right now. You guys are on baby food. You're wearing diapers, and God wants you to put on the big boys. He wants you to start eating meat. He needs soldiers. He's looking to and fro. He wants people with faith so he can put them on the front lines to take back what the enemy has stolen. Take back. Start walking in health. Start walking in prosperity. Can we do that? Yes, we can. Are we going to suffer in this life? Are we going to have persecution? Yes. But that does not include sickness, because God's sickness is not of God. There is no sickness in heaven. There should be no sickness on earth. Jesus was never sick. Oh, he was persecuted and he suffered and people beat him. You may face all of that. Welcome to the club. Hey, gladly, I got an eternal salvation to go into. I don't really care what you can do to me here, because I know where I'm going. But I don't want to walk defeated and in sickness and in depression and stuff. That's not God. That's the enemy. And you can fight against that. And he's telling us, and I'm fixing to tell you over the next 6 weeks how to do that. Fixing to tell you, man, I'm getting southern more day by day. I was never born down south. I'm a fixing to tell you. That is not me, but it did sound good. I might have to take up a little of that southern chat. Brett, you're getting me there. Did we do Hebrews 5, 12 to 14? Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. You got to grow up. I'm here to tell you, we got to grow up. For though by this time he teaches, everybody who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What does that mean? Stay there. If you're only drinking and going through the basic training as a Christian, you says to what? You are not accustomed to the word of God of righteousness. That means it's not going to be enough to really change your behavior. There's enough of a foothold because you've been born into this world, and before you got saved, you probably had at least 10, 20, 30 years for some of you. You're going to have to get more, you're going to get off the little general things that, hey, I know I'm saved. How's that going to help you overcome addictions? You know, there's further teaching, there's further experience you've got to experience. He is an infant, he's saying. If you stay on just reading God's word and not trying to apply it and get accountability partners and go through meditation and go through study and do the things you need to do as a soldier, he says, then you're still going to wet your diapers and you're going to be uncomfortable. But solid food is for the mature. Why? Because they practice. Because of practice. What does practice mean? Practice. Read the word. Sing when they call you to sing. Dance when we call you to dance. Get out of your personality and get into the spirit like David did. And he didn't care what was going on the outward man because he knew what was going on the inward man. And the only thing he cared about is what God thought about that inward man. He could care less what you thought of him on the outside. Because of practice, get your senses trained to what? Discern between good and evil. This is good, other things are evil. You got to know it. You got to know the truth to set you free. You must learn the truth about God and the Bible. Well, is there a precedent? Yeah, Jesus did it. Luke 2. Here's Jesus, capital C child, as he was growing up. We're reading in the early years of his life. He continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. How many of you know that he was born as a man? Yeah, he was God, but he chose incarnate to come and live in a human body as a man, to experience everything we would experience, to do everything that we could possibly do, to say anything that we could possibly say, so he could teach us and be a reflection of what it means to take on the nature and character of God and live it. He wasn't showing us things we would never be able to do, or what would be the point. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Wow. And Jesus kept. He didn't just do it one time. He didn't have a Holy Ghost showdown in church on any given Sunday. He kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with, first and foremost, God and men. I'll tell you right now, if you can impress God, you won't have any problem impressing men. Folks, it didn't stop there with Jesus growing in wisdom and stature and favor. He told us to grow and mature just like he did, 1 Peter 1. Therefore, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober. Keep the truth in your spirit. Fix your hope. What does hope mean? Expectation. Our hope, when it comes to the things of God, our hope means it's what we're expecting. Not there yet. We're hoping for it, but not like a wishing and a hoping. God said it. I'm expecting it. I'm hoping for it. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on what? The grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is revealed to you through His Word, grace is poured all over you. What you did yesterday doesn't matter. What you did in crimes and everything else is wiped clean. It's as far as the east is from west. Grace will shower you. Love will shower you as you do what? Obey and present yourself repentant before Him. He washes you white as snow. You're a new creature. Favor comes your way. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lust, which were yours in ignorance. That doesn't bring you all that favor of God. But like the Holy One, this is what He expects from us. Listen, just like Jesus, He was obedient unto death. He walked in holiness. Who called you, and He wants you to follow Him. He says, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior. Why? Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. He didn't want you to just get your ticket to heaven and then go act like the devil and just show people a different way of life that says, hey, this is okay. Hey, don't worry about it. Grace covers everything. Grace is it. You don't have to worry about being holy. You don't have to be obedient. You said, once saved, always saved. Dangerous doctrine. And we know nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can. No demon in hell, no person can. But you can separate yourself by refusing to be walking in righteousness by just saying, God, I'm not going to serve you anymore. I'm going to serve the devil. We're not going to get into all that, and I don't know what your stance is on all that, but I'm just here to tell you there would be no point for Jesus to come and do what he did if everybody was just going, simply by walking up and saying, I do. Right. Any more than your marriage will last by just walking up and saying, I do, and then you don't do anything. Folks, when we prepare for battle like this, armed with the truth, and this is what we're talking about today and finishing up here right now, armed with the truth, we avoid the enemy's deceitful ways. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, a lot of scripture today. You need to get it in your spirit. You need to study it. I think Kathy puts it out on the internet. You need to look at these scriptures and you need to memorize them. You need to get it in your spirit because these are the weapons of your warfare. As a result, we're no longer to be what? Children, again, out of diapers, growing up, got big boy pants on now. We don't want to be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Somebody brings you up, oh, well, what about the Seventh-day Adventists? And what about the Mormons? And what about this and all that? Gee, it often sounds awful good and stuff like that. You ought to be coming right back and say, yeah, it sounds good, but let me tell you what the Word of God says. There's only one way, the truth and the life, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no way to the Father but through the Son. Holy Spirit. God, the Father, the triunity of God. Well, Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible. No, triunity is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Count. One, two, three. So don't get hung up with people who get hung up on words. It's the character. It's the principle. You got to carry things through to know what that God's nature is. When His nature's in you, you have freedom. You don't have to worry about every single word and how it's presented and all that stuff. You don't want to trip anybody up, but you just know that you know that you know. These people are not going to come into here, knock on your front door, and switch you from a Christian to somebody else. Not when you're armed with the truth. You got the Holy Spirit in there going, it's like glue. I'm learning Spanish. Pegamento. Maria's not here. Okay. It's glue. Pegamento. Peg it. That's how I remember it. Like cement. Pegamento. It's folks, you got to nail it. You got to use God's word, and it's like a sword. It's like an arrow. Don't be tossed by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and they will try to trick you, if not just to promote their church, okay? By craftiness and deceitful scheming. He's giving us great advice. But do what? Speak the truth, and this is very important, in love. Now, I may be raising my voice, but I'm being more of a coach to you today. I really do have love behind this. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't have put... Listen, I went through hell this week in my own physical body just trying to prepare this and stuff like that. I don't want to see anybody not victorious. I'm going to the hospital, and I'm going with some of you guys in your family matters. Man, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be put out of business there. I want you guys to live victoriously, start exercising just like I have to. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me too. Speak the truth in love. We're to grow up. He says, grow up in all aspects into Him, who's the head, even Christ. Wow. Divine power is found where? In truth. It's the truth that takes captive every evil thought. Well, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We all learn that, but you know what? You forget that. What does that mean? It means that the truth will take captive all of the thoughts that the enemy tries to replace it with. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divine. They're powerful for the destruction of fortresses. These are spiritual forces that are looking to devour you, folks. You don't see them, so you're not worried about them so much. But boy, when you experience them, you're crying out. We're destroying. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing, every thought raised up against the knowledge of God. When the monkeys come in, brother, when the monkeys come in and it does not agree with the Word of God, we take it captive to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? You put the truth on it. So shall you sow, so shall you shall reap. If you sow, you will reap. It's a principle. It'll work. God doesn't lie. So when the enemy says, don't give, just say to yourself, oh, why not? Because the more I give, I can't outgive God. He's going to give back. But whether he does or he doesn't anyway, it's just cool. To the obedience of Christ, take every thought captive to the truth. Folks, truth enlightens us to what? It leads to spiritual wisdom. And it strengthens us that way with all power according to who? His glorious might. Thereby putting Satan to flight. Just like Jesus did, it is written with the truth. So it puts Satan to flight. We can do the same thing. It's exactly what Paul knew this. It's exactly what he prayed for on behalf of all the churches. Listen, Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. Scripture, for this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and the love that you have, that's what I just said, right? You better have love, because without that you're a noisy gong. You got love, you got faith, so he says now, I'm not ceasing giving thanks for you, because you got that, while making mention you of my prayers. So now he's praying for you, and what is he praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of what? Wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Folks, he wants you to buy into truth. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, truth, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling without waffling and wavering. Does God love me? And what the riches of his glory are for the inheritance in the saints. We're his children. He's adopted us when you accept him into your life. You go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you get that's not it. Not only you become sons, but then you get what is even better. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Read that. Surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of whose might? His might. What he's saying is, when you accept my son, when you know who you know who you are, and you have the Holy Spirit endowed, living and moving and having his being within you, you have strength and power and might that is not your own. It's from above. And you can exercise it like my son. And if you know the truth, it'll set you free. And you can declare, it is written, and you can say to the mountain, move in Jesus' name, and it shall be done. This is truth, and the more you get it, the more I coach you into this, the more I prompt you into this, the more you exercise it and get out there and practice it and train yourself and discern from good and evil, the more it's going to become visible and it's going to manifest. Well, Pastor, I don't see it manifesting in my life right now. Well, any more than you would lift a 1 pound weight and go boop, 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 and then go out there and do it. You train. You keep praying for that person, even though you may not receive results. I believe my God will supply all my needs in Christ Jesus, and I'll pray it every day till I see it happens, and I won't stop until it does. This is how we train. This is what God wants to see. He didn't want to just drop things down. Okay, he prayed, he got that. We take no faith on our part. We wouldn't exercise it. We wouldn't probably even read anymore. No pain, no gain. Colossians also said something about this. 1 Colossians 9 to 11. Paul again praying that we get this, that the truth gets in us. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you. And I ask that you may be filled with what? Once again, the knowledge of his will. That's truth. That's his word. With all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He knows what that's going to do for your mortal life. So you'll do what? Get knowledge and puffeth yourself up? No, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in every respect, bearing fruit in every what work? Good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says what knowledge should do is not puffeth you up and get you proud and act like this is something that you did. It means that the more knowledge and wisdom you get, the more you'll walk in the truth, and the more it'll set people free, you free, get the world free, take back what the enemy has stolen, get into the enemy's camp, storm the gates of hell, and begin to snatch people out of the fires of hell and bring them into God's kingdom. Because you're a powerful Christian who knows God's word, and you will not be denied. Strengthened with the power, with all power. That's what you can be, according to His glorious might. And attaining, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously. How many of you know while you're going through patience and you're trying to be steadfast and stuff like that, it can be anything but joyous? But when you're like James and you count it as joy, that doesn't mean you're happy. He says, count it as joy, meaning I may be going through rough times, but I know in the end who wins. I know who I am in Christ. He will never leave me or forsake me, and there's joy in the morning. Count it as joy, even though you don't see it. Don't sit there and go, I'm going to be miserable all night. I'm going to wake up. It ain't going to happen. Then I got to do this and I got to do that. God's not going to be with me. Well, He may be with me. You just pray for me. That's not how He wants you to approach it.
Right.
He wants you to go with hope. What does that mean? Expectation. Yes. My God will show up and supply every need that I have.
Yes.
As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. No sickness shall come to my dwelling. No sickness shall come to my dwelling. That's what the Word of God says. Well, how can we say that? Unless we've embraced the Word of God and we embrace truth and we're walking in that obedience and then we know that we know that we know and God's going to be right there for us. We're still in a little bit of some big boy, little boy pants that we need to walk in. Me too. Me too. I'm working on it every day, and from this day forward, I'm hoping I'm going to get even stronger and put more people in my life to hold me accountable to that. Remember, Satan's number one ploy against the believer is to do what? Deceive us, which he cannot do when we know the Word of God. Amen? Truth. So, you see, Satan is often the one responsible when we feel discouraged, defeated, uncertain, confused, downcast, depressed. He's often the one that's responsible. But there are promises in God's Word to help fight off the adversary. How do we do that? Well, I'm depressed and I'm this and that. Well, go to God's Word. There are promises. Get to know them. John, listen, the Apostle John knew the power behind truth as God's children did what? Not knew it, just knew it, but chose to walk in truth. When you walk in truth, there is power. 3 John 4. We're closing this down. I have no greater joy than this. No greater joy. John could have all the joy that he wants about anything that he could choose to write about. And he says, I've got no greater joy to hear my children what? Why would he say that? He knows what the truth can do. He knows it brings victory. He knows that Christians will wear joy and peace and love. They'll be effectual. Because if you remember him and James and all, we got to be doers of the word. Walk in the truth and watch God work. Because you're really walking with God. That's what walking in the truth is, right? I'm going to close with this. There's another writer that wrote about walking in the truth. And when I read it, I just said, wow, what a powerful way to describe walking in the truth. Listen to this. Now remember what I'm doing here with you guys. We're getting into the flow. Right now, your spirits, I pray, if it's not, then wake up. Nudge the person beside you. Give them a good belt in the old side. I want the anointing to start flowing in this place. I want you to understand who you are in Christ and how you were made in God's image and how much He loves you, that He would send His Son to die for you, that He wants this truth in you. He wants this truth in you. He's not just going to and just say, He's going to say, it's right there. It lives inside you. Listen to it. Listen for it. Read the Word. Get into worship. When we conclude this, we're going to go right into some strong, powerful singing with strong worship. Charismatic, if you want to call it. About fighting in the Spirit, because I want this flow to continue. And then as it peels down at the end, we're going to apply it. If you're sitting in a wheelchair, if you're laying down, if you need prayer, if you want to stand in the gap for somebody else, let's come around them and we're going to start quoting Scripture. If you got Bibles with you, you better get them out because you're going to have an opportunity to stand there and quote Scripture because it's God's Word that will set you free. Not me, not anybody standing up here, but God's Holy Word. And if somebody comes up here for prayer and wants to be delivered or wants to be healed or whatever, take out the Word along with your hands on them and quote it and then put your hands on them. And in the name of Jesus, let it be done. I want you flowing in the Spirit. So just start pondering on the things of the Spirit and listen to this as another man has described this walk in the Spirit. Such a walk implies a stern, strict dealing with sin and self, allowing no conscious hypocrisy and insincerity, no compromise with known sin, no excuse or vindication for wrongdoing. Quit making excuses. No condoning sins such as temper, irritability, worry, or depression on the ground of physical causes or domestic circumstances. It compels us to face things just as they are and call them by their right name. He who is truth encompasses our whole being, making every part true, beginning with the inward character and ending with your outward character. Sometimes it takes a little while for the truth to get from the inside to the outside. Amen? When you do battle with Satan, there are no pretenders. There is no faking it. We have to be real from the inside and from the outside in. From the inside out and the outside in. One of the reasons we suffer so in the church today and why so many people are losing the battle is because most of us are second generation Christians who have grown up learning how to play the game of Christianity. We know all the right words. We know how to do everything as everybody expects us to do it. It's easy to play the game. We get so good at it. Then all of a sudden we enter into a battle doing warfare with the enemy where reality is demanded and we understand that we are not real. We are exposed and we're vulnerable in the place of attack because there's no truthfulness in us. We are not to live our lives outwardly so people will think well of us. We are to live our lives from the inside out knowing that God is our ultimate judge and He wants us to be real. The reality of the Christian life is the greatest asset the warrior has in battle. Let us ask ourselves the questions, am I real? Am I genuine? Nothing less will suffice. Folks, there is nothing like the power of a godly life living the truth to bring power to whatever the task may be. On the other hand, there is nothing like a guilty conscience to destroy you in the battle. Folks, ask God to show you today what is true and what is not true in your life. Put on the girdle of truth. Get into God's word and hit the devil where it hurts. We're going to play this E.V. Hills clip again because it's exactly what we need to do in the Spirit.